It's 8:48 on a Wednesday morning. Joining us now, as he does every week during the legislative session, it is State Representative David Bly of District 20 Feed.
Yeah, David.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, glad to be here. So this is our the second deadline is coming up tomorrow night. So finance bills have to be kind of cleared through their committees in order to be continue to be viable. Of course, I've learned in the years I've been there that never say never on a bill that you're working on, that there are ways to bring something back. So although it is a deadline, and most of the bills, I think most authors will probably not pursue some of the other angles one can do to move something forward. But that's something that we have to face and have to move on from. There, I don't think I got a hearing on any of my bills this year, so which that's the problem of being in the minority, really. But there were a lot of bills introduced. Were, you know, a lot of things that probably won't get hearings and won't go forward, but it was kind of surprising that there's that much activity without much result in the end. We also have there was an article I noticed about asking questions about where is the bonding bill. And I think the chair of the bonding committee, Dean Erdahl, made one comment earlier on that he has it in his drawer and he's working on it, you know, but anyway, we're kind of anxious to see. I mean, the governor has put forth his plan, which is a robust bonding bill with you know, wastewater treatment plants and some construction in the university and other colleges and some other much needed kinds of funding. So we'll have to see what happens with that.
Now, is he or either side identified a target they're looking for out of that out of the bonding bill?
Well, the targets haven't been set yet. So the governor has taken his position. He said how much money he thinks the bonding bill should have.
Okay.
But the legislature will have to set its targets based on how much money they think they have and all that. So that's we're still waiting for that to happen. The other thing that we touched briefly on Minlars last week, but that bill now has been signed. There was the House finally conceded to the Senate position, and there is some oversight that the House wanted, but I think the governor has most of the money that he was asking for, so they can move ahead and get things done with that.
Now, I'm kind of under the impression with that Midlars that the state has a contract with an outside company, hey, do this. The impression that I got is they've gone through all their money, it's not done, and they want more money. Is that correct?
Not exactly.
Okay.
No. This is like a ten-year project.
Okay.
And the first provider that they worked with botched the deal, and they fired them. Got rid of them. And then they had to start over. And they had a product that they thought was ready to launch, I think back in October or whatever, and they launched it, and it turned out to be not in good order. So they hired some independent contractors to come in who are experts at making these systems work and fix them, and started to bring down the backlog of requests, you know, for titles or whatever it might be. And the funding was going to run out. They knew that it was going to run out April 1st. And they had to send pink slips to these contractors. And some of them left because they can get more money doing something else. They're that talented that they can. And that was the concern, that if we didn't renew the funding for them to continue the work. So these are the independent contractors doing the work that needs to be done. And that was kind of the issue. That was the problem, that we wanted to make sure that we held on to those independent contractors who continue to do this difficult work. And the other side.
Why didn't we just hire them to begin with, as opposed to going to two? I mean, well, I know this is probably not your area of expertise, what you're in charge of, but there's some questions about that.
Well, you know, the whole world of high tech seems a lot simpler from the outside than it is on the inside.
Not really, not for me. It looks bad on the outside too, but I do know what you mean.
You'd think it would be simpler to resolve these things.
Exactly.
But there's all kinds of things that happen. It's much more complex than we imagine or we realize. either that or we're just being hoodwinked by them all. I don't really know, because I'm not knowledgeable enough to know whether or not. And this is actually a big concern. If we just all the stories we see about Facebook and the things that have happened there and the breach of people's data and things like that, these are things that government needs to catch up on. You know, we do need to figure out how do we regulate these industries that are so new that we don't understand them, and they do create problems and do create difficulties for us. And when we're kind of behind the eight ball because we don't really understand how it all works, and we need experts to do that. So I think that the you had to have a product in place in order to have the independent contractors come in and make it work. You know, so that you had to start from somewhere with something that somebody built for you, because there wasn't the expertise in the department to do that. So they had people come in. Now we do have a tech, you know, minute is supposed to be that tech organization within our government, but I don't think it's necessarily up to speed or doesn't have the expertise or didn't in the past anyway. I think the head of Minute right now, who's in, kind of in charge of making this all work, is very good and really showing that she can make things improve. But that's and you know, it's going to be complicated when we get to Real ID as well, and trying to make sure that that's all in place. Hopefully now they can move forward and be ready with that when it comes out in November or whenever it is.
All right. With that, though, I guess we'll talk about that in the future. That, there's no reinvention of the whole wheel. I mean, the 49 other states have done that, or 48 or so. So we should be, hopefully that'll go a little bit smoother.
Well, hopefully, yes. Mm-hmm. Although, I don't know if we've had a really rough pathway towards Real ID in our state, where we've lots of arguments about whether we should do it or not do it, and then of course you end up with a different product than our other states would have. And I just don't know how complicated that'll be to put it in place.
We'll worry about that when it comes. Let's move on. Employee contracts. We've got evidently new contracts.
This was an ongoing thing from the last session as well. The contracts had been negotiated with the agencies. So these are state employees. They negotiated in good faith with the agencies. The agencies has to have the final contracts validated by the legislature, and the majority was saying, "No, we don't like the agreement, so we're going to change it." Or it's one of those things that's, you know, maybe we shouldn't be messing with, but they, you know, they want to say, "Well, we don't want to just rubber stamp this; we want to put our stamp on it." So, this delayed the approval of those contracts until right now. I mean, it's been really a long time since we resolved this. So, it was an unfortunate circumstance, but we did validate the agreed upon contracts.
Okay.
So I'm glad to have that done with, you know, for our state employees, so they know what their future is going to be like and can go forward.
All right.
The other thing that I wanted to mention was that discovered in looking at the Fed legislation, the federal legislation, that there's a 7% cut to services for the disabled. And I'd like to see if there isn't some way that the state can make sure that they're not harmed by that. I mean, we have facilities like that here in Northfield, the Laura Baker School and EPIC, for instance. And they really still haven't fully recovered from the cuts, back in the after the recession when we were trying to balance our budget. And most nursing homes did receive some catch-up or some monies, and the services for the disabled got a little bit back, but not back to where they needed to be. So I'm concerned to try to see if we can't do something about that. So I'm going to meet with some revisers today to see if I can draft a bill that would suggest that we ought to do that. And I don't have a lot of faith that it would necessarily pass, but at least it puts on the table so that if we can convince the majority that this is something that shouldn't be overlooked. The governor, I think, would already be on board. The governor was informed about it not too long ago.
The services themselves, the 7% cut, are those against specific services, or is that just a general budget?
I don't know the details about that exactly, but I did receive an email from both EPIC and from Laura Baker with great concern about what that would mean, you know, layoffs for them or difficulty with the various housing that they have and things like that that would be hurt by that kind of cut. So it really worries me that we're not taking care of those folks.
That's a healthy cut. 7% is a healthy cut
to
cut out of any budget.
And then this morning, when I leave here, I'll be heading up to the Capitol for our Ag Policy Committee, and we are finishing up our Ag Omnibus Bill. I think most of that is there's things that I would support and like to see go forward, but there's the Republicans are in opposition to the Department of Agriculture's nitrogen rule, which was just wrapping up, and they're going to have the finalized rule out in public, I think, in early May, and then they will take testimony from farmers and others who are concerned about it. But the Republicans want to completely delay it or get rid of it, not have the Department of Ag be able to control this. They'd like to have the legislature have the final word on it. And this is something that goes back to the Groundwater Act that was, I think, passed in the early or the late 1980s, early 90s, somewhere in there. So it's been a long time in coming, this nitrogen rule, trying to protect citizens and people from getting their drinking water polluted by nitrates or whatever it might be, their wells or what, you know. So rather than having taxpayers or other people pay to have their wells and water supplies cleaned up, we want to make sure that we're dealing with the problem as where it comes from, you know, that we ask farmers for really the nitrogen rule primarily only asks that farmers not apply fertilizer in the fall, which means that if it sits there and on frozen ground or whatever it might be, and then runs off into the water, it isn't doing the farmers any good, but it does affect the water quality. So that's the gist of what the rule is trying to accomplish. Environmentalists say, well, it's not strong enough, not hard enough to really protect our water, but it is a step in the direction of trying to say we need to have something in place to control what we're doing. When I talk to farmers, farmers who are knowledgeable and care about this, they're already finding other ways to spread their fertilizer. So I don't think it's necessarily that big an issue, except that we have kind of a tradition of saying, you know, we're not going to tell farmers what to do.
Now, as far as the future of that, is that going to be given the thumbs up or thumbs down today? Are you going to have to tweak that? Is it going to be tweaked before?
Well, what we're probably going to lose the battle today because we don't have the votes.
Okay.
But what we will try to do is to tweak it some, and ask that the department give a longer listening period or period where they're going to take testimony, which I think would satisfy farmers. Right now that it's 30 days in the month of May, which that's when farmers are out planting, hopefully, and so it may not be the best time for them. So we want to give them a longer period of time. I think that will help them be a little bit more accepting of it. But we don't want to have the legislature be overseeing the department in its regulatory activity. That it should be able to do that. We're going to try to take that provision out of the bill that they're going to want to have. And I doubt whether we'll be successful in committee, but it might be something that the governor could veto, or we can move forward on that. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, David, anything else before we let you go?
I don't think I can't think of anything. The other thing I'd mention is that we did hear in finance some good provisions for farmers who are really struggling. The farm economy is hurting. Prices are down, and so there's no question that farmers need help in those areas. And so there's a program called Farm Advocates, and the Farm Legal Fund is are things we put some money into to make sure that farmers have the kind of financial help and can survive some of the downturn that they've seen.
All right. David, thank you so much for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yep.
State Representative David Bly from District 20B. Jeff, getting out of here, hope you have a very good day.